What we discuss is of the greatest importance for every human being. Why is it important for human beings? Because human beings have the developed consciousness to understand this subject matter. You will not find any other creatures here trying to understand what I'm saying. Human beings have the capacity to try and understand what is the source of everything and what is our relationship with that source of everything. When we start thinking in this way, then our life actually starts to make progress. And I know you all want to feel that your life is progressive. None of you want to feel that your life is stuck in a rut. You want to feel that your life is going places. You want to feel that your life is doing things. But in order to have that genuine feeling of living a progressive life, we need knowledge. We must understand what is the source of everything and what is our relationship with that source. If we begin to speak about God, most people think, oh, that's whatever you think it is. God is whatever you make it out to be. The greatest lack in society today is for authorized knowledge of the Supreme. Either you have people who are very fanatical. My understanding of God is the only understanding. Or you have people on the other extreme who are very airy-fairy. Whatever you think, that's what is. Whatever you think the Supreme is, that's what the Supreme is. What is the actual standard for understanding the science of God? Because people don't have precise knowledge of the Supreme, they either become fanatics over some limited understanding, or they become very airy-fairy, whatever, you know, the whatever. So where do we turn to find genuine knowledge of the Supreme? This is our actual quest in life. Without that knowledge, we become dried up, like a withered leaf. We try to please ourselves in so many ways. Even as a very young person, you've experienced the so-called pleasures of life. The pleasures of life are basically intoxication, sexual relations. These things have been done since the early teens these days. There's no mystery about it. And then once you reach your early 20s, you begin to wonder, what else is there going to be for my life? Maybe if I have more money, that'll make the difference. Then gradually you find out that more money doesn't add any special flavor to your life. In fact, it adds a lot of anxiety. Finally, by the time you reach your 40s and 50s, you just switch off your brain and stop thinking about the ultimate questions. It just doesn't pay. And you just feel frustrated. Well, no one knows anyway. Why worry about this? And if you have some children who are growing up, becoming teenagers, and they start asking you ultimate questions, you just tell them, you'll grow out of this one day, don't worry. We asked questions like that when we were teenagers. Don't you have some parties to go to? And then after you pass through your party phase of life, you'll try to nest. You'll settle down in a nest, and you'll hope that maybe this will do it for me. And then after a while you realize, still something in my life is missing. Finally, because there's no solution, there's no knowledge, you start to think, I might as well just switch off my intelligence and not address these subjects. And just live life as best as I can, gleaning, gathering whatever fragmentary happiness I can along the way. You hope for some companionship, as the famous French philosopher Albert Camus said, don't try to lead me, don't try to follow me, just walk together with me through the chaos. That's as best as it gets. Companionship. Don't you dare leave me, and I'm not going to follow you. You're not going to follow me. I would never present myself as someone who should be followed. And certainly, I'm not going to follow you. But together we can be companions in the chaos. Doesn't that sound romantic? Of course, how did the great French philosopher Albert Camus end his existence? By driving his sports car off the cliff. So, we need to use our human intelligence properly. It's a very rare thing today to find human beings who are actually going to focus their intelligence in a way that's productive. The ancient Vedic teachings of India urge you to use your intelligence to understand what is the source of everything. Then you can understand your place in life. Suppose I'm just wandering around in the center here, and I never understand I'm in Brisbane. I'm just wandering from street to street, and just interacting with people, with the shops, but I have never understood that I'm in Brisbane. Nor have I understood that Brisbane is part of Queensland, and Queensland is part of Australia. So why worry about those ultimate questions? Right now I'm just walking on the streets here, in and out of the mall, in and out of shops. What more is there to understand? What would you say if I said that? You say, no, you have to understand, this is Brisbane. And Brisbane is part of Queensland. Queensland is part of Australia. At least you have to understand that much. I say, oh, why are you ruining life by just making it so burdensome? Just be spontaneous. Be free. Wander from street to street. Never mind what the overall reality is. On this street, there'll be happiness. On that street, there'll be distress. In this mall, there'll be mixed happiness and distress. Just wander from experience to experience, going with the flow. Why should you worry what is the overall reality? What city is this? What state is this? What country is this? It doesn't have any bearing, any meaning for your immediate sensual experiences. None of you would accept that notion. You'd say, you can't live in that kind of ignorance. You've got to know that you are living in Brisbane, and Brisbane is part of Queensland, and Queensland is part of Australia. You at least have got to know that much if you're going to be a functioning human being. Okay, fair. Now, why is it we think we can live without understanding the ultimate reality that we are part of? We think that life is working for us. Or if we think it's not working for us all the time, we think there's a good amount of times that things are working, so that's enough. 4 out of 10 times, That's as best as you can expect. We don't dare to think that there is a better way to live. We don't dare to raise our percentages about how things can work out much more than just 4 out of 10 times. Part of living today means to have low expectations about the ultimate questions in life. You have high expectations about crude sensory experiences, but you have low expectations about understanding what is God, what is the soul, what is life. For your immediate sense stimulations, you have high expectations. This is going to be ecstasy. This is going to be wonderful. This is going to feel good. But when it comes to the ultimate reality, we have very low expectations about solving that puzzle, or even the need to solve that puzzle. This is a great problem. In other words, when we strip ourselves of high expectations about the high questions of life, we become no better than animals. An animal is a creature that simply is concerned with the immediate questions. Where is food? Where is sex? Where is shelter? Where is a place to sleep? Some hole in the ground, something, somewhere. When our life shrinks to just handling these very basic immediate concerns, we lose our special status as human beings. And this is what's going on today on a mass scale. People are losing their special status as human beings and willingly just embracing the basic impulses as everything. Of course, you all are different. You've come here tonight. That's because you're curious. And some of you are even enthusiastic to actually take up the study of the ultimate knowledge, Krishna conscious knowledge. Now, when we talk of God, what do we mean? Because people have no answer to that question, they don't think it's even relevant anymore. You may think like this, I may think like that, but anyway, let's just get on with life. It's all arbitrary, it's all optional. Whatever you think, whatever I think, whatever he thinks, whatever she thinks. In fact, let's just blend it all together into one big milkshake called the whatever. And we can all have a straw, each of us can have a straw, and suck on the whatever. That's as good as it gets, huh? Now, the fact that you are here tonight means that you have some inclination that there must be some definitive knowledge of the Supreme. There must be some genuine spiritual understanding. Our only hope to understand what is the Supreme is to take knowledge directly from the Supreme. This is the advantage of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the contemporary term, which means the ancient term in the Sanskrit language, Sanatan Dharma, the eternal essence of every living entity. That eternal essence of every living entity is to have a loving relationship with the ultimate source of everything, Krishna. Because people have no understanding of God, they don't think it's relevant. They think it's all optional. It's all up to you. No, it is not up to you. It is up to the Supreme. But we actually have to find out knowledge about the Supreme coming from the Supreme. That is the advantage of Krishna consciousness. I travel all over the world, on every continent, and everywhere you'll find little bits and fragments of knowledge of what is the Supreme, what is God. Generally in the Western world, if you say, where is God? People will point. He's up there. If you go to the Eastern world, to India, you ask people, where is God? They'll point. He's inside. He's here. You might wonder, is God inside or is he outside? Actually, Krishna is both inside and outside everything. One very famous enlightened lady named Queen Kunti spoke very wonderful transcendental knowledge, giving us a deep understanding of what is the source of everything, what is the Supreme. In Sanskrit, she said, Namaste Purusham Tvadyam Ishvaram Prakrite Param. She said, let me offer my praise, my glorification to the original person. You all know what it is to be a person. And you do acknowledge the existence of other persons. But who is the original person? Queen Kunti is focusing on that original person as the source of everything. She's saying, Namaste Purusham Tvadyam. The origin of everything is personal. Now, we have a bias, we have a prejudice to think that the origin of everything is impersonal, not a person, because we don't know any person that's powerful enough to be the source of everything. Therefore, we say the ultimate source of everything has to be impersonal. But that is complete speculation. Just because we don't know any one person who can be the source of everything doesn't mean it's impossible. And indeed, when we turn to the ancient Vedic knowledge of India, we find the evidence, we find the testimonies that point to Krishna, the original person, as the source of everything. So, Queen Kunti, she's actually a liberated woman. Why is she actually a liberated woman? Does it mean that she has political equality, economic equality? She gets to wear the pants? No. She's a liberated woman because she's free from thinking, I am this body. That is actual liberation. She's understanding her identity as spirit soul, not the body. And she's understanding her relationship with the Supreme Soul, with Krishna. Therefore, she offers this prayer to Lord Krishna. Namaste Purusham Tvadyam. You're the original person. Ishvaram Prakrite Param. You are the controller, but unlike all the other controllers, you are beyond the reach of material nature. If we look around us, we'll always find someone in control. Even the mother, the father, they're in control of their children. The mayor is in control of the city. There's always someone above. But all these controllers that you know, controller can even be a pretty girl who walks in front of your eyes and takes control of your consciousness. That's also controller. Or a muscular man who walks before your eyes and captures your consciousness. You're under control. So we see control and controlled everywhere in this world. At every moment, someone is controlling and someone is being controlled. You can see that in your own life. And some moments you're controlling others, at other moments the others are controlling you. Now, who is that controller who is beyond the whole material system of control? Queen Kunti, the truly liberated woman, is pointing out that reality. Ishwaram Prakrite Param. There is a controller who is beyond the network of material control. Not only is Krishna beyond the network of material control, but also Krishna is a personality who is untouched by material nature. Krishna's personality is all spiritual. It has nothing to do with material qualities. So Queen Kunti is pointing out, let us pay attention to that person who has nothing to do with material nature. Namaste Purusham Vajyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam. That person is actually invisible to everyone because they don't have the qualification, the spiritual vision to see. Antarabhaya Vivasa. God is inside and outside. He's everywhere. But unless one has the vision, the qualifications, you won't be able to see, even though the Supreme is everywhere. This is the knowledge presented by Queen Kunti. There is a personality, an original personality who is everywhere. And that original personality is untouched by material nature. That original personality has pure spiritual qualities. And that original personality is the true controller, beyond which there is no other system of control. Even though that original personality is everywhere, inside, outside, alaksham sarvabhutanam, he's invisible because people do not have the qualifications to see with spiritual vision. To use your senses actually takes skill. Just like if a car breaks and you know nothing about car engines, you won't know what to do when you open the bonnet. But someone who understands auto mechanics, they can open the bonnet and immediately know what they're looking at. Similarly, you may have eyes, but without training, you cannot see the Supreme. You cannot see Krishna, even though Krishna is everywhere. Queen Kunti is addressing the mystery. Is God everywhere, all-pervading, or is he localized? Does that mean, is he in one spot? The answer is, he is both. Krishna is everywhere, all-pervading, and he is also at one spot simultaneously. A material example, but gives some understanding. The sun, although situated in one place in the universe, sends unlimited quantities of heat and light everywhere. If the sun can do that, why cannot Krishna pervade everywhere and everything with his energies, while at the same time being at a particular location? When Queen Kunti made this prayer, she's looking right at Krishna, offering that prayer. Namaste Purusham Vajnam Ishwaram Prakrite Param. How will we develop the qualification to see the Supreme? First, let's be humble. We cannot even see our individual soul, yet we're so demanding to see the Supreme Soul. Our vision is faulty. Our eyes are untrained. But if we learn to hear the Supreme, we can see most effectively in that way. Real spiritual progress begins with hearing God. You can see through your ears. In the spiritual world, where there's no matter, no material energy, there's no difference between seeing the Supreme, hearing the Supreme, even tasting the Supreme. You can learn through bhakti yoga how to spiritualize all your senses so that you'll actually experience what is God, who is Krishna. Just like with your senses, you've grown up for your teenage years, you've experienced so many things. Similarly, if your senses are properly trained, you can experience the spiritual reality, the Krishna conscious reality. So please do not become bewildered. Is God inside me? Is he outside me? Is the Supreme all-pervading, or is the Supreme just in one spot? All these realities are true. Anta bahir vyavastita kuni kunti said. He's inside. He's outside. He's all-pervading, and he's also localized. In other words, in one spot. That is Krishna, the original person. Understanding Krishna is the greatest mystery in life. Once we begin to understand Krishna, then our human form of life has achieved its ultimate goal. Understanding that original person. Everyone likes original things. No one wants to wear some kind of fake. Maybe you're wearing a fake Rolex watch, fake Calvin Klein clothes. No, everyone wants the genuine thing. When you get the genuine thing, you boast to others. I've really got a Rolex watch. Don't worry, I don't. Just an example. I really got Calvin Klein next to my skin. I've got the real thing. People like to boast like that. Or if they don't say it out loud, they say it silently. I've really got a BMW. If you go overseas now, when it's summertime in Europe, it doesn't last that long compared to here. You go to England, you find people in their 20s, they're walking around during the few summer days, and they're wearing, you know, the Billabong, you know, fashions, and, you know, they're, we've got the real thing on. We've got the Aussie fashions. The real thing. If you go to Thailand or Indonesia and come back with some fakes, even though you've spent far less money, you still don't feel so good about it. You wonder, people will probably notice it's not the real thing. But if you spend 10 times the money and get the real thing, then even though you have, you know, much less money in your pocket, you get this sense of security. I've got the genuine Calvin Klein fashions on. So people want genuine things. They want real things. The most important real thing to have is genuine knowledge of the Supreme. This is the greatest lack today. And people don't care. Ah, so what if I don't understand the ultimate questions? Just be merry, make happy now. At most, we think that deep knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is a very convenient subject matter to be chatting at a cafe before you take your acquaintance back to your flat. Hey, what do you think life's all about?
Well,
here, have another. And tell me more. Sometimes I wonder, you know, is it what it is or is it what it's not?
Well, I also think like that.
Oh, you do? Yes, have it on. And finally, you know, as you get deeper into your discussion about so-called ultimate reality, the end result is why don't we just go back to my flat and talk about this some more? That's about as much usefulness as that spiritual knowledge discussions have. How many persons are actually looking for a chance to make a breakthrough in their life? I want that genuine spiritual understanding which will cause a transformation. I'm not going on as I did anymore. I don't want that. I've done it all already since the early teens. I've partied, I've smoked, I've stroked, I've squeezed, I've been squeezed, I've... What am I going to do now? I've been stoned, I've been smashed, I've been wasted. I've gluttoned out on everything possible. Now what? I've got to go to a higher level. I need to make a major transformation. For those fortunate persons, Krishna conscious knowledge will give them what they need and more to have a truly progressive life. The truly progressive life makes progress toward understanding what is the Supreme. Who is that original person? Where is that original person? Queen Kunti, she was the mother of 5 sons. Yet, she had the time to make these ultimate questions and solve them. She was actually a widow. Nevertheless, besides maintaining the home, maintaining her family, she was absorbed in these ultimate issues, and she offered such a beautiful prayer. Namaste Purusham Vajam Ishwaram Prakrate Pradam Malaksham Sarvabhutanam Antarbahiravastitam. The original person, the controller, who is untouched by any matter. The person, the original person who is beyond material nature, who has no material qualities, whose personality is devoid of any material qualities, who is inside, who is outside, who is all-pervading, yet no one can see this person because they have not purified their senses. We invite you to go deeper into the ecstatic mystery of Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness. In this way, you'll achieve the fulfillment that you've been longing for birth after birth. Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, after many births and deaths on so many different planets, in so many different species of body, finally you can take birth and come to the understanding that Krishna is the ultimate source of everything. Then you're on solid ground and you can begin to understand Krishna more. What is your relationship with Krishna? In this way, your life goes to a completely different level. We invite you all to seriously consider this. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra beckons to you, calls to you. Leave aside the humdrum. You know you've done it all already. In terms of material life, you've done it all already. Be honest. You peaked out when you were 14. Be honest. Now what are you going to do? Is more money going to solve it all? You get more money, you can go traveling. You can go travel to Thailand or Bali, and there you'll do the same thing that you did here. Where is intoxication? Where is sexual stimulation? We've got to break out of this cycle. which is known as the bodily concept of life. We've got to go to true, genuine spirituality. But there can be no true, genuine spirituality without understanding what is the source of everything, what is the supreme. That is the gift of Krishna consciousness. So let us remember this prayer by Queen Kunti. Namaste Purusham Tvajam. I offer my respect, my veneration to the original person who is beyond all the ordinary personalities of the mundane world, because that original person is the source of everything. The Hare Krishna mantra connects you with that original person so that you can experience that as a practical daily reality. We invite you all to please take advantage of this great opportunity. Please do not waste your human form of life worrying about things that are easily available to our four-legged friends. You're meant for more. Allow yourself to go to the higher level. Allow yourself to go to the highest level. That is the message of Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Yoga. Thank you very much. Might there be any questions?
Yes. Is my dad better about you guys? He's 15 now. He's a senior citizen.
All right. Genuine spiritual knowledge must come from the ultimate source of everything, the original person. If I want to understand you in the best way, I should hear from you. Otherwise, I can just speculate. Oh, he has very nice gray skin. You say, no, that's my shirt. No, that's you. That's you. I think. Imagine so many things. But if I would just ask you, then I would get the straight knowledge. I could speculate in many ways. You're sitting like that with your feet off the floor because actually your legs don't reach the floor. I could come up with so many wild things. And then I would say to someone else, don't you agree? His legs don't reach the floor. That's why you don't see he has feet on the floor. And they'll say, well, if that's what you feel, that's okay. You know, whatever. If we want clear-cut, definitive spiritual knowledge, we take our information from the Supreme about the Supreme. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains himself. He doesn't say, just believe in me. He says, here is the process by which you can verify everything I'm telling you about me. So what more do we want? So genuine spiritual knowledge comes directly from the Supreme. That is the basis of Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, I am like this. Here's the process by which you can come to me. We take it in that way. If you are interested in meeting a person, and she says, come see me at 5 o'clock tomorrow at a certain bench in the mall across the street, you will take that literally. Yes, I'll be there. So similarly, Krishna gives literal, direct instructions in Bhagavad Gita. If you want to contact me, these are the qualifications you need. This is where I'll be. But we don't listen. We say, oh, but you know, it's the whatever. In this way, we waste our valuable human life, getting lost in the clouds. We're proud, you know. I'll find my own way. Suppose you're talking to this person you're trying to connect with, and she's telling you, I'll meet you in the mall at 5 o'clock tomorrow, a certain spot. And you just say, no, 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 I'll find you my own way. All paths lead you. You would not say that. Let me make sure I have that information down now. 5 o'clock tomorrow in front of such and such shop. Yes, yes. Okay. Let me read that back to you now. You're sure you're going to be there, right? And I'll be there a bit early, you know. But when it comes to connecting with the ultimate reality, oh, the whatever, you know, I mean, whatever, all paths lead there, just, you know, however you feel. This is ingenuine. Huh? Anything? Yes, these things require some deep thought because they are of utmost importance for our pleasure. There cannot be real pleasure without real knowledge. So please think about these things very deeply. We like to stimulate thought about these subjects. This is our contribution to real human progress. So if there are no more questions, we'll continue with our program. I thought I saw one other person raise their hand. I was like, oh yes.
I have a question regarding the writers themselves and what research is currently being done into the timing and the sensitivity that you talk about in your book.
Oh, you have seen that book?
I've read it.
In that book, I gave the cutting edge. It's a bit ahead of its time. So, some frontiers of research have opened up more, especially in the most controversial area of the hidden history of the human race. Still, there are so many areas of research that are still shackled by the knowledge filter. That means if something doesn't fit with the current paradigm, it's just discarded. It's not considered a genuine area of research. Those knowledge pioneers who are breaking new ground in terms of understanding the ancient knowledge of India's lost past, they're not well publicized. Their time hasn't come yet. But I firmly believe that their time will come. Because it's quite obvious to me that the current method of civilization is not going to get us any further. And once people realize that, they're going to start looking for alternatives, and they may become humbled enough to realize that perhaps in the past there was much greater knowledge than what we think now. Once people begin to hunger for a different type of civilization, then they will hunger for a different type of knowledge. So in that book, Searching for Vedic India, I gave you like the cutting edge. The book's about 10 years ahead of its time, but you already read it, so you have a good vision now for what the future potential is. As you remember, I footnoted everything so that no one would think that this is just my imagination, hearsay. It took a lot of work. So, in conclusion, the controversy about how ancient is the human species, that is the biggest game, that's becoming the biggest game in town. More and more. Anything else? Also, one other thing, research into reincarnation is becoming very well known. Past life investigation is becoming very industrious. It's becoming more and more undeniable if you study this research. So these are things to watch for the future. What's next on our program? All right, we're going to do a little mantra meditation. It's an active meditation in which we stand and sway to the music, vibrate our tongues, and in this way we'll invoke the presence of Krishna.